Good morning, and thank you for joining us for virtual church this morning. I want to take a minute and thank everybody who has kept our family lifted up in prayers over the last week or so. As most of you know by now, Betsy tested positive for COVID and the rest of us tested negative. At the beginning, she was having fevers and coughing that led into vomiting. And the worst part really has been the fatigue. She will get up and do things for a few minutes and then just be completely tired and have to go back to bed. Sometimes she'll go back to bed for 3 hours or whatever, but we're pretty much past that and she's feeling much better, and none of the rest of us have had it or have had any symptoms of it. So thank you to everyone that has been praying for us and anybody that has offered to help us in any way. It's been kind of overwhelming, so thank you for that. As you have likely heard by now, Pastor Andy started coming down with some symptoms on Monday night and took a test on Wednesday morning. And sure enough, he also has been diagnosed as having having COVID. So he and Pam are in quarantine as well. So the administrative board decided that with both pastors in quarantine, it was probably a good idea to have virtual church this week. So thank you for joining us. Before we get into the message, I want to acknowledge the fact that this past Wednesday was Veterans Day, and we have several people in our congregation that have served this country in the armed forces. So thank you to all of you for your service. Normally, we would have you stand at this time. You're welcome to stand where you are, but unfortunately, because it is virtual church, we're not able to see you. This morning, we're going to be talking about a concept that doesn't get talked about very much, and it's the idea of biblical lament. It's been interesting. Over the past month or so, I've talked to some of our veterans, and I kept hearing kind of the same thing. I used to be proud to be an American, but it's just not the same anymore. And that's a hard statement to hear, and I'm sure it's a hard statement to feel as well. I've heard the pain in the voices of the people that have said that to me, and I think that it probably has some things to do with things that are currently happening or even things that have happened in the past, but also some things that people see on the horizon as coming. And so today I want to teach us a way to pray that it's called biblical lament. It shows up in many different spots in the Bible, but it doesn't get talked about a lot in church. And it's a way to express to God the feelings that we're having and then ask God to act on it. So I know that several of us have experienced some sort of personal tragedy. Some of you have experienced personal tragedies that still even eat at you today. I know that we have people in the congregation that have lost spouses. We have people that have lost children. And maybe you feel like you have some closure to those situations on some days, and yet on other days, it still feels just as raw as the first day that it happened. And I think that as we talk about this idea of biblical lament, that I think you'll find a way to be able to express those feelings to God a little bit more. Today is November 15th, which in Michigan traditionally has been the first day of deer hunting season. When we lived up in central Michigan, it was actually a holiday that they called Deer Day. And kids would get off of school on Deer Day to be able to go hunting. And even though I've never gone hunting in my life, November 15th has always been a special day in my heart because it was a day on which my dad would make the same lame joke every year. He would say, every year, hunters all across Michigan go out into the woods and shoot off guns in my honor. You see, November 15th was my father's birthday. In fact, today would have been his 70th birthday. As most of you know, 4 years ago, my dad had a massive heart attack while he was at work and he passed away. Some of you may even remember the crayfish story and how God comforted me in the midst of that storm. If you've never heard that story before, I'd love to tell it to you sometime. But the experience of losing my dad was probably the most traumatic thing that has happened to me, other than possibly the times that Betsy and I went through some miscarriages early in our marriage. I know that in comparison to some of the things that other families in our body have experienced, those things kind of pale in comparison. But maybe that's why it's taken me so long to be able to understand this idea of lamenting. But over the course of the last, a couple of years, God has slowly taught me about this idea of lamenting. And then recently, I've shared with you a couple times that this book that Terry Lang gave me, this one is Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, and there's another one as well. These books have expressed to me what I've been feeling for the last couple of years that I haven't been able to put into words. And this book in particular is about the biblical idea of prayers of lament. Prayers of lament are found all over the Bible, especially in the Psalms and the book of Job. In fact, Jeremiah wrote a book called Lamentations. It's all about lamenting over Jerusalem. So my hope is that in teaching you this prayer language, some of you will be able to find an outlet for those feelings that you've been feeling towards God, the ones that you feel guilty about feeling, the ones that you just, you don't know what to do with. You feel them, but you feel like feeling them is wrong, but you still feel them anyway. And what I want us to understand as we go through this idea of what is biblical lament, I want us to think about it as remember, God is our Father, and we are His children. And it's as though we're going to go to a parent that can understand their children expressing their feelings towards a parent that they deeply, deeply trust. So what I want you to do at home is I want you to turn to Psalm 13. And if you're using a digital device, I want to recommend not only do you go to Psalm 13, but I want you to go to the New Living Translation of Psalm 13. Okay, so if you're using a paper Bible, obviously you don't have the opportunity to turn to the New Living Translation. But if you're using a digital version, go ahead and go to Psalm 13 in the New Living Translation. Some of you who've been around this church for a long time may be thinking, well, that's kind of weird. You may have just shot me a look that I said the New Living Translation. But I want to explain something about the New Living Translation. Normally, I would use the English Standard Version when I'm teaching. But when it comes to biblical poetry, I feel like paraphrases sometimes capture what the author is trying to express better than translations do. And so, most of the time I'll use the English Standard Version, which is a word-by-word translation, or I might use the NIV, which is a phrase-by-phrase translation. But in this case, I feel like the New Living Translation just captures the idea, the essence of what the psalm writers are trying to convey a little bit better. So anyway, hopefully that bought you enough time to be able to find Psalm 13. And in a few minutes, we'll get into that. But I want to explain something to you. Recently, my daughter tried to explain to me that the reason that sometimes she's sassy towards her mother and I and speaks in a way that sounds disrespectful. It's not in her mind because she's being disrespectful towards us. She said it's because she feels comfortable with us. Okay. So this evening I brought that conversation back up to her and I asked her to explain why it is that she feels comfortable towards us. And she said, it's because I trust you. Now, is it right for her to be sassy and disrespectful towards us because she trusts us? As her parents, no. The answer is no. We shouldn't be treated that way. But as parents, we should also be able to handle that kind of a conversation knowing that underneath it, it's not so much about disrespect, but understanding that there's a certain amount of trust and a certain amount of confusion that she's dealing with. I think as parents, we can handle something like that. If you watched the video clip that I posted on Facebook a couple days ago from the movie Escape, you saw the characters talking back and forth. And one of the characters says to the other character, "Do you think God's a little too thin-skinned to be able to hear your criticism?" Well, sometimes as parents, maybe we are a little bit too thin-skinned to be able to hear our children's criticisms, but God is not that way. And when it comes to the biblical idea of lament, God actually shows us through the psalmists that it's okay to express the way that you're feeling towards God, and he's thick-skinned enough to be able to handle it. So while it's not okay to be disrespectful with God, he is okay with us questioning him, explaining to him how we're feeling, that we don't understand, and asking him why he's allowing something to happen, or even feeling like maybe we don't deserve what's happening. So I don't usually give you guys a nice, clean, 3-point message, but today I'm going to tell you my 3 points, and then I'm going to tell you about my 3 points, and then I'm going to remind you about those 3 points. Okay, ready? Here's the 3 points. Point number one of biblical lament is the idea of complaint. Point number two is boldly making requests. And then point number three is trust. Okay, complaint, bold request, and trust. So I've asked you to turn to Psalm 13, and I want you to stay there, but I'm going to read you some other passages of scripture, and then we're going to get into Psalm 13. But as I read you these, I'm going to go right through this list, and then when we get to Psalm 13, I'm going to want you to look at Psalm 13 and find these three things yourself, okay? So Psalm 10 starts this way. He says, "O Lord, why do you stand far away? Why do you hide when I'm in trouble?" Well, let's think about that for just a second, okay? Is God really far away from the psalmist? Is God really hiding when the psalmist is in trouble? The answer to both of those questions is no. Now, that's how the psalmist is feeling in that particular situation, and he expresses that feeling towards God, even though in reality, that's not true. In fact, if you've ever read the book of Acts chapter 17, Acts chapter 17 verse 26 through 28 says, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place." Now listen to this, "that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, yet he is not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being." The fact is that God isn't far away from any of us. It's just that the psalmist felt in that particular situation that God was far away from him. Now, the psalmist's complaint in Psalm 10 doesn't end there. Let me read you some more of it. And maybe you can relate to that idea of God feeling like he's far away, God feeling like he's hiding when the psalmist needs him. But here's what the psalmist continues his complaint with. He says, "The wicked arrogantly hunt down the poor. Let them be caught in the evil they plan for others. For they brag about their evil desires. They praise the greedy and curse the Lord. The wicked are too proud to seek God. They seem to think that God is dead, yet they succeed in everything they do. They do not see your punishment awaiting them. They sneer at all their enemies. They think nothing bad will happen to us. We'll be free of trouble forever. Their mouths are full of cursing and threats. Trouble and evil are on their lips and tongues. They lurk in ambush in the villages, waiting to murder innocent people. They're always searching for helpless victims. Like lions crouching and hiding, they wait to pounce on the helpless. Like hunters, they capture the helpless and drag them away in nets. Their helpless victims are crushed. They fall beneath the strength of the wicked. The wicked think God isn't watching us. He has closed his eyes and won't see what we do. So from those verses, you can see the psalmist complaining about all of the things that he's seeing happening around him and God not intervening, or at least from his perspective, God not intervening. Let me give you some more complaints from some of the other lament psalms, okay? You're going to be familiar with this one. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far when I groan for help? Now that, what, my God, why have you, we often say, forsaken me. That's a quote from Psalm 22 that Jesus quotes while he's on the cross. Now, here's the thing. Did God really forsake Jesus while he was hanging on the cross? God accepted Jesus' sacrifice, right? We know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, and 3 days later, God raised him from the dead because his sacrifice was acceptable to him. But as Jesus is even hanging on the cross, he quotes this psalm, my God, why have you abandoned me? You know, there's other psalms that say, every day I call to you, God, but you don't answer. Every night I lift my voice, but I find no relief. Tears blur my eyes. My body and soul are withering away. Some of us have probably gone through times where we have felt that way. In fact, I know that I've sat with families from our body that have experienced something like that, where they feel like God is not there. They feel like God is not answering their prayers. They feel like they call out to him and he's nowhere to be found. And I also know that there's families that probably wish that they could cry out to God in the same way that the psalmist does, but they feel wrong about it. It's uncomfortable. I understand that this whole idea of lament at first is going to be uncomfortable. It's not going to be comfortable for probably any of us. But listen to what some of these other ones say. I am dying from grief. My years are shortened by sadness. You let our neighbors mock us. You have made us the butt of their jokes. These are complaints that the psalmist is writing about God. Fear and trembling overwhelm me, and I can't stop shaking. My heart pounds in my chest. The terror of death assaults me. Fear and trembling overwhelm me, and I can't stop shaking. Some of us have probably felt that way. Has the Lord rejected me forever? Will he never again be kind to me? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he slammed the door of compassion? Another psalm says, and I said, this is my fate. The Most High has turned his hand against me. Another psalm says, O Lord, how long will you be angry with us? Forever? How long will your jealousy burn like fire? Another one says, how long, O Lord, will the wicked be allowed to gloat? Another one says, how long will they speak with arrogance? How long will evil people boast? So it's really interesting to me because I feel like a lot of times in the church, we skip over these lament psalms. Maybe it's because pastors like me, like I couldn't have preached this message 4 years ago. I didn't understand lament the way that I understand it now. I didn't understand being able to cry out to God and say, Lord, I just don't get it. I don't understand why you're allowing, I'm witnessing all of these things I don't understand. In fact, Psalm 102, listen to how Psalm 102 starts. This is the explanation of what we're going to read in Psalm 102. It says, a prayer of one overwhelmed with trouble, pouring out problems before the Lord. I feel like that's how a lot of us feel. Like we're just overwhelmed with the things that are going on in life. We don't know how to express things. And yet we don't even know if it's okay for us to express things boldly before the Lord. And what we find in the lament psalms is that God is okay with us complaining to him. But not complaining like the Israelites did when they were wandering in the wilderness. Because when they complained, they accused God of doing wrong. The difference is in the lament psalms, the psalmist complains about the things that he sees or the things that God is allowing to have happen. But at the end, there's this idea of trust. And it's interesting to me because all three elements are there in almost all of these lament psalms. They're not necessarily in the same order. Sometimes it's complaint, request, trust. Sometimes it's trust first, you know, sometimes it's trust second. But all three of those elements are typically there in these lament psalms. I feel like the idea of lament could open us up more to crying out to the Lord and really being honest with him. Why would we not be honest with God? I mean, he knows everything already. He knows our hearts before we cry out to him. So why not just open up to him and really let him know that we know that he already knows how we're feeling and just express it to him. Okay. So I'm going to give us a chance to practice that in a little while. But before we get into that, I want to get into point number two. Point number one was complaint. Point number two is boldly request. And I think a lot of times when we pray, we're kind of casual about our prayers. We say these safe prayers. We the ones that we hope God answers, but if he doesn't answer it, it's really not that big of a deal. But that's not how the prayers are in the lament psalms. In fact, in the lament psalms, they're very bold prayers. Sometimes they're even so bold that I read what the psalmist writes and I go, yeah, God's not going to answer that prayer. but whether that prayer gets answered or not really isn't up to me. It's up to God. But let me read you some of the, bold requests in the lament prayers. But before that, let me read you Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Now, other translations say, "Let us boldly approach the throne of grace." So our prayers ought to be bold. But notice what he's saying here is so that we may receive mercy and find grace. And I think that in a lot of these lament psalms, what the psalmist is going through is a period of time where he needs either God's grace or mercy. So he preaches God boldly, to find help in time of need, as Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 ends with. So here's some examples of bold requests in the lament psalms. Okay. "Arise, O Lord, punish the wicked. Do not ignore the helpless." Another one says, "Break the arms of these wicked, evil people. Go after them until the last one is destroyed." Another one says, "O Lord, do not stay far away. You are my strength. Come quickly to my aid. Save me from the sword. Spare my precious life from these dogs." Another one says, "Snatch me from the lion's jaws and from the horns of the wild oxen. O Lord, I've come to you for protection. Don't let me be disgraced. Save me, for you do what is right. Have mercy, Lord, for I am in distress. Don't let me be disgraced, O Lord, for I call out to you for help. Let the wicked be disgraced. Let them lay silent in the grave." Now, I've never prayed for someone to die before, but the psalmist prays here for someone to die. Let them lie silent in the grave. And so these types of prayers are probably really uncomfortable for us. But they are biblical. I mean, they are in the Psalms. This is inspired scripture. This is scripture that the Holy Spirit told the author to write down or superintended the author writing down. So even though these don't necessarily seem comfortable for me, they're there and they're the word of God. So anyway, let me continue. "Wake up, O Lord, why do you sleep? Get up, do not reject us forever." Have you ever prayed, "God, why are you just laying there? Why do you sleep while all these terrible things are going on? But the psalmist does. Wake up, O Lord. Why do you sleep? Get up. Don't reject us forever. So he makes these bold, bold requests to the Lord. All right. The third point. Sorry. The third point is trust. Okay. Like I said, this is the difference between the complaining that we hear in the Israelites as they're wandering in the wilderness and the complaints that we hear in the book of Psalms, in the book of Job, in the book of Lamentations. Okay. So that's the difference. All right. So let me give you some examples of trust in these same Psalms. The Lord is King forever and ever. The godless nations will vanish from the land. Lord, you know the hopes of the helpless. Surely you will hear their cries and comfort them. You will bring justice to the orphans and the oppressed, so mere people can no longer terrify them. Praise the Lord, all you who fear him. Honor him, all you descendants of Jacob. Show him reverence, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not ignored or belittled the suffering of the needy. He has not turned his back on them. I will give repeated thanks to the Lord, praising him to everyone. Another one says, for he stands beside the needy, ready to save them from those who condemn them. I cried out, I am slipping, but your unfailing love, O Lord, supported me. Another one says, when doubts filled my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer. I think that one's a really important one, because what we're seeing in these Psalms is we're seeing the psalmist, He's having complaints and he's having doubts and things like that. And then he boldly makes requests of God. But even though doubts may be filling his mind about what God is doing and whether or not it's the best thing for him to be doing and things like that, it says, when doubts filled my mind, your comfort gave me renewed hope and cheer. So even though he didn't necessarily know if he felt like God was doing the right thing, all in all, he trusts that God is doing the right thing. God comforts him, and that comfort gives him hope and cheer and reminds him that God is doing the right thing. So those are just some examples. So now what I want you to do is, at home, I want you to look at Psalm 13. Okay? I want you to see if you can find this pattern in Psalm 13. All right? I'm serious. I want you to pause the video. So go ahead right now and pause the video and see if you can find this pattern in Psalm 13 of complaint, request, trust. Okay, go ahead and do it now. Some of you still haven't paused. Look, I know the chair is comfy and all that, but serious, this is good exercise. Go ahead and pause the video. Okay, hopefully you've just now unpaused the video and we're coming back to the message. Were you able to find it in the book of Psalm, chapter 13? Were you able to find this pattern? All right, let me walk through this psalm with you quickly, and I'll read for you as we go through these three steps, okay? Psalm 13 says, for the choir director, a psalm of David. O Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will the enemy have the upper hand? All right, so if you've read verses 1 and 2, you've seen that idea of complaint. The psalmist doesn't understand why God is allowing the things to happen that God is allowing. He says, how long are you going to forget me? Has God forgotten the psalmist? No. How long are you going to look the other way? Has God looked the other way from the psalmist? No. How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul, with sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Now, is he struggling with sorrow in his heart? He very well may be struggling with sorrow in his heart. Does his enemy have the upper hand? His enemy may very well have the upper hand in this particular situation. So those things may be true. The first ones, though, are clearly just how he's feeling in this situation. And I love the fact that God allowed the psalmist to express how he was feeling in this particular situation. Okay. So then the psalmist makes his bold requests. Turn and answer me, O Lord God. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, we have defeated him. Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. So do you see verses 3 and 4 are the bold request that the psalmist makes? Then the last part of the psalm, verses 5 and 6, are the psalmist expressing that he trusts God in this situation. He says, but I will trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. So this is kind of like the model psalm for this idea of the lament psalms of complaint, bold request, and then trust. But hopefully you were able to see all of that in these psalms. I think what these lament psalms does for us is it gives us an understanding that when we don't understand how God is working in a particular situation, we should have the freedom to express that feeling to him. And this whole thing, I understand it's going to feel foreign to us, but it's very biblical. There are so many examples of these in the scriptures. In fact, this book, Dark Clouds, Deep Mercy, the second appendix gives the lament psalms, and it's about a third of the 150 psalms. A third of 150 is 50. So there are a lot of examples of this complaint to the Lord, boldly request God to move on it, and then trust that he's going to do the right thing. And so if we can begin to model that type of prayer in our own life, it will open us up to be able to express to God some things that maybe some of us have been carrying and not had closure on in a long time. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to lead us in a prayer of lament. And as I do that, I'm going to pray some things, but then I'm going to be silent for just a moment or two, and I'm going to let you at home pray out loud some things that you can see going on, maybe in this world, maybe in this nation or whatever, that weigh heavy on you. Maybe it's even within your own family. Maybe it's experiences that you've had in the past and things like that. And you've never lamented over these things before. You've never felt free to be able to express the emotions that you feel surrounding these events. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to leave a section open for you to pray out loud at home. And then I'm going to move into the next one. I'm going to make some bold requests, and I'm going to leave a section open for you to pray at home. And then I'm going to express to God that we trust him. And then I'm going to leave you a section open for you to pray at home. And I really hope that you will take just a moment to pray out loud these things. When I say pray out loud, offer at home your complaint out loud, really do that. Express to God how you're feeling out loud. Okay, so let me go ahead and start. Lord, how long will you let good people suffer while bad people get away with all kinds of things? How long are you going to continue letting babies get slaughtered in abortion clinics across this nation? How long are you going to allow our veterans to miss the country that they fought so hard for? How long are you going to allow people to be judged by the color of their skin rather than the content of their character? How long are you going to let children in our own families die? How long are you going to allow marriages to fall apart? How long are you going to allow our children to wander away from the faith? How long, Lord, are you going to allow this pandemic to go on? How long are we going to have to wear these stupid masks for, Lord? Okay, now at home, I want you to take a moment and I want you to out loud offer your complaint to the Lord. Okay, let's move into bold request. Rise up, Lord. Call this nation to repentance. Awake, Lord, save those babies. Move, Lord, vindicate the innocent and convict the wicked. Lord, wipe away this pandemic and the need for these masks. At home, make a bold request before the Lord. All right, let's move to trust. Lord, we may not understand everything that's happening or why you're allowing it, but Lord, we trust in you. You are God alone. You are sovereign. You are righteous. You always choose to do the right thing, even when we don't understand it. You know the beginning from the end, and you have a plan, and we trust in your plan. Take a moment now at home and just express to God that you trust him. All right. Well done. Over the next couple weeks, I want you to practice being raw with God. I want you to express to him how you really feel about what's going on in your life, in your family, in this church, in this nation, and in the world. But as you do that, make sure to end every prayer with some variation of, Lord, I trust in you. Okay? Father, we do trust in you. We trust that you do know the end from the beginning. We trust that even when we don't understand something, you still have it under control. Lord, we pray that your son Jesus would come back soon, that he would restore all things. Because Father, right now, we see things that we just don't understand. We don't understand why you allow them. We don't understand why the wicked prosper while the righteous beg in the streets, Lord. Father, we know that one day you're going to set everything right. We trust you that you're going to work all things out for your honor and your glory. And we await that day. May it be soon, O Lord. May it be soon. Thank you for teaching us this concept of biblical lament, Lord. Thank you for giving us the examples of the psalmists that poured out their complaints before you. They were real with you. They were raw with you. When they struggled with something, I think of King David, and I think of the baby that he lost, and how he knew the feeling of losing a baby, Lord. And I think of how he later lost his son Absalom, and how he mourned over his adult son, the loss of his adult son, Lord. I think about Abraham and the loss of his wife Sarah, Father, and how he mourned over that, Father. I thank you for the examples of these people that have suffered loss and yet turned to you in trust, Father. And so I pray for us that we would be able to look at things that you've allowed in our lives and not turn bitter because of them, but to maybe we need to complain to you. Maybe we need to pour out our heart and soul to you, Father. But ultimately, we need to turn back and trust you, Lord. Trust that even though you've allowed this pain to come into our lives, you have a purpose in our pain. You continue to work all things together for good, and we can trust you, Lord. You're not just some God that's distant and far off, Father. You are our Father who art in heaven, and hallowed be your name. Lord, it's our prayer that your kingdom would come and that your will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us for this message this morning. I hope that you'll take the time to be able to listen to all of the music that Pastor Andy has spent a lot of time this week choosing, and lift up the Lord in worship today. All right. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully we'll be back together soon. I love you. See you soon. Bye.